Okay, well, in coastal Louisiana, marsh is a sort of universally recognized as a crucial ecosystem at this point, for obvious reasons. And the coastal marshes are adapted to withstand and rebound from infrequent extreme weather events, such as hurricanes. The issue becomes, with climate change, becomes the concern that the frequency and intensity of these extreme weather events is likely to increase, and possibly increase to the point where the ability of the habitat to rebound is overwhelmed. In particular, for the Mississippi Delta region, the rate of relative sea level rise is extreme due to subsidence and true sea level rise. So the question is then, how can this coastal marsh ecosystem be affected by the stress on the plants, and is it possible for environmental stress to cascade up and affect the composition of the arthropod community? Spartina patens is the dominant marsh grass in the intermediate salinity marshes in the vicinity of New Orleans. And the ways in which inundation can stress the plant and some of the physiological responses of the plant are very complex. Not all plant parts respond the same, and many aspects of the soil are affected by inundation itself, and compounded if the inundation is with salt water. Just some representative examples here to show that the leaf tissues may be affected differentially from the contents of the phloem sap as the plant experiences inundation stress. So given the complexity of the plant response, it would be, I guess, naive to presume that a stressed plant is a homogeneous resource for all herbivores. And it's more realistic to consider that different feeding guilds specializing on different plant parts will be affected by the particular nature of the change in those plant parts. For instance, leaf chewers, such as grasshoppers, would be affected by changes to leaf content or leaf defenses, such as toughness, whereas phloem feeders, such as delphacid plant hoppers, would be affected by the shifting nutritional value of the phloem sap as photosynthesis is reduced or nutrients are translocated around the plant. To continue that argument, then, if the specialist herbivores are affected, predators, generalist predators such as the lycosid spiders and specialist predators such as parasitoid wasps will be affected as well, and hyperparasitoids indicated here by the little extra little wasp may be affected even more so because the relationships are very specific down to the specialist herbivores, and you can sort of see how the cascading effect might work. So to test this, my project is funded by the National Institute for Climatic Change Research, which has a coastal research institute at Tulane, funded by the Department of Energy, in part to grow the infrastructure for marsh research. So testing this question, but also developing facilities and equipment for marsh research in general. We used large inflatable cofferdams, which are normally used for flood control, to create circular enclosures, which we would then flood with water from the adjacent bayou to simulate extreme flooding, try to maintain that for 36 to 48 hours in the flood plots and compare to control plots. Two of the other co-authors would be measuring the soil biochemistry, and then following the inundation manipulation, I would be measuring the plant physiological responses and collecting and determining the makeup of the arthropod community. So, Hurricane Gustav came through when we were about to run this manipulation, so I had to rethink my approach, bearing in mind that it ought to be possible to test the effect of extreme inundation by a severe weather event when a severe weather event inundates your research plot. So I just basically had to shift my approach from an experimental manipulation to an observational study of the landscape. My study site is indicated here by the yellow dot, and the city of New Orleans for reference is indicated by the fleur-de-lis on the map. The site that I chose is noteworthy because it is the choke point for storm surge for extreme weather within 100 miles on either side of New Orleans, because that chain of broken lakes that you see acts as a funnel and focuses the greatest depth of storm surge is typically found right where that land bridge is between New Orleans and Slidell, Louisiana. Just for reference, this is the NOAA water level gauge nearest to my site for the period including both hurricanes and up to my eventual sampling date. You can see that the water was 3 meters higher than normal for the first hurricane. That gap is when the water level gauge was destroyed. The other noteworthy thing is that the water never, during this time period, never diminished back to the normal water level for that season. So the flooding was maintained for a period of weeks up through my sampling date and well beyond. So storm surge piles up, and I'm going to focus on this area highlighted by the yellow box. And it's possible to, I wasn't there, you're not allowed to go there when there's a hurricane, but it's possible to predict the path that inundation might take across this ecosystem. In that water can move in a sheet over the marsh, or it can follow the paths of least resistance through those channels indicated by the sort of more sinuous, smaller arrows where there's connecting waterways between the lakes. Given that, I was able to speculate on a gradient of flood intensity. And based on the number of barriers that floodwater would have to pass through, I sampled in sites that I predicted would have greater or lesser intensity of flooding, indicated by the pluses. And then the minuses still did flood, but they're behind a storm protection levee here. So for today, I'm going to talk about the data from directly adjacent to that flood levee on the protected and the unprotected side, where I collected plant samples and DVACT for insects. And this is just a reference. This is all Spartina patens. The habitat is very similar, separated only by a couple hundred yards, but you can see that the plant quality is visibly different. So I DVACT 30 seconds in each of three plots on either side of the levee, collected three plants for morphological examination. The plant quality aspect that I measured was parenchyma formation, which is a proxy for inundation stress. And it turned out that there was not a measurable difference between both sides of the levee, sort of unsurprising in that everything was flooded. The more important difference turned out to be that the salinity was 9 parts per thousand versus 0 to 1 parts per thousand on the protected side. The insects were sorted to morphospecies, identified to order, and roughly categorized into their hypothesized feeding guilds. The overall arthropod abundance, you can see, was greater on the protected side of the levee and greater for each feeding guild. The only significant difference here was the overall, the orange bar. However, the species richness of these groups was greater, significantly greater in every case except for the detritivore group, which was nearly significant. But this is an interesting result in that it sort of approaches the question of whether what I'm finding is a reduction in insect abundance and diversity as a direct consequence of a storm hitting, or because the storm altered the habitat quality in such a way that the distribution of insects was affected. The fact that the abundance, the decrease in abundance was not as great as the decrease in species richness suggests that there is the insects, there are a fewer taxa of insects that are able to survive on the protected, the exposed side of the levee, and the effect is greater for predators because they are tend to specialize on herbivores would specialize on plant parts, and so the their sensitivity may be compounded for that reason. Some further questions to address that I can get at with the data I already have and with follow-up studies are specifically measuring the plant parts for how they are impacted by the flooding, and follow-up for the long term. I can resample to determine whether there is a maintenance of the difference in habitat quality, and I can resolve the taxonomy to a greater degree to determine specifically what species are eliminated, and whether it's correlated to their specialty. Just to acknowledge the funding sources and the land management group that gave me access to these marsh plots. Anyway, that's it.